It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chow.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char-broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grillin' Guys.
Welcome. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the weekend. Thanks for tuning in. We're just hanging out in the studio today and just talking about the weather and talking about all the good stuff that's coming because I think spring has sprung, Bob. I mean, our clocks went ahead last weekend, and I didn't miss that hour a bit. I was loving the fact that the next day it was 8 o'clock and it was still light out and I could, you know, still be dinking around in front of my grill. But I'm Jopping. He is Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Hey, good to see you, buddy. And thanks for joining us. Thanks for taking a little time out for this smoky radio show. We are today, it's going to be Meet the Butcher because we have Tim Sobey in the flesh joining us. And how are you, Tim?
Doing great, and it's a lot of flesh, I might add,
too. Yeah. Doesn't one of your brother-in-laws or something, isn't that your nickname with him, is Meat?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's,
I mean,
my brother, yeah.
It's a special name. Yeah. I mean, nobody else can call you that.
And his son's the meat mechanic.
Right. Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Rap his own original.
Right.
So anyway, the good weather's here, and we'll see if it sticks.
It will.
We're chewing on some Sobey jerky right now, so if you hear us stop and try and swallow and get some chomping in here, we're doing a little hillbilly. He knows how to take care of us. And some barbiaki. So we'll talk all sorts of stuff about Sobey Meats throughout the show. It's going to be like a giant meat fest. Oh, so be it.
Right. So, Bob, I got to tell you, I had the typical buddy come over. He shall remain anonymous. But shows up last week with a Packer brisket. Says, I've always wanted to cook one of these. And then I'm like, well, why the hell are you in my house then? Right? No, I always wanted you to cook one of these for me, he clarifies. So, whump, on my table is about 14 pounds of brisket.
Do I know this guy?
What? Yeah, you might.
Oh.
But he'll remain nameless. But anyway, this brisket shows up and he says, I want corned beef for St. Paddy's Day. And I'm like, well, okay, that's okay.
Gonna be in a few days.
Right, yeah. But so we brined it up, right? And I only put a 3-day brine on it. And then pulled it out of the brine on Thursday morning, fired up the pellet smoker, and I cut the point off so I had a flat and a point. And I actually carved too deep when I was bringing the fat line out of that point. And it broke into two pieces.
Perfect.
For me. So I had 3 pieces of meat. And there's a couple morals to this story is that usually the point is thicker and I want to put that on the hotter part of my grill. So not thinking I did it, but because it was in two pieces, my pellet grill, if the firebox is on the left, the hottest end of the grill is on the right because that blower blows all the heat down to one end and then it comes back across before it exits out, right? So those two little pieces of point, which are usually the longest, cooked quickest. So I had those done 2 or 3 hours before I wanted to eat, which was fine. I rested them in a cooler. Everything was fine. But that flat I had up on the nose of that thing, and it didn't get done by the time I wanted to do it, right? So I slid it down on the hot part, but it was too little too late. So I had 6 people for St. Paddy's Day because, you know, they wanted to bring people over and eat the meat that I made for them. So we did Reuben sandwiches, which was no big deal, but the big piece of the flat, which was the beautiful part of the meat, because I'd busted up that point in 2 pieces, we didn't ever touch it because it wasn't done yet. And about 8 o'clock, when everybody's done eating, that thing gets done, and I pull it off, and I slice it up and send it home with them. But, yeah, it was
kind of pastrami, isn't it?
Right, yeah, kind of. A little bit.
Slice it off and put it in your fridge. The heck with that.
Right. Well, I didn't give it all to him, but I put some of it in there. Yeah, it was.
I'll teach him.
Yeah, it was just a different scenario. But anyway, you know, so I thought I was going to, I had all day to do it. I thought I was going to knock it out, and I used the wrong piece of equipment or the wrong end of the piece of equipment, and we ended up like that. But
I didn't even have any, well, I shouldn't say that. On St. Paddy's Day, I'm batching it for about a week and a half.
Surprise. Cold weather, Mo's out of town.
She's down south, taking care of a couple little twins.
Yep, yep.
And so, which is great. I wish I could have went with her. But I went to the store and I bought a can of Hormel's corned beef hash. So I did a little corned beef hash and a couple of poached eggs for breakfast on St. Patrick's Day.
So you didn't tell me you were batching it because we had plenty. I'd have had you over.
Oh, no, no. I love Hormel corned beef hash. It's weird. I grew up
on it in that austerity program on Reed City, I think. That's where that all happened.
Well, I don't know, but one of my favorite little restaurants fries it up crispy for me and puts a couple poached on it. And to me, that's just a wonderful breakfast.
You can put gravy on that or ketchup or neither?
So anyway, Tim, good to see you. We have an annoying person in the studio. I didn't screw mine up, so mine turned out great.
Well, it turned out great. Mine was just late.
Yeah.
Once it came out of the can, it was just fine. Right.
Yeah. The talent that guy has is amazing. Yeah.
I did stop at my daughter Maggie's, and she has an Instapot.
Yeah.
She did her corned beef in that.
How'd that turn out?
She loves that thing.
Well, you know why? It's a modern day cooker that makes everything in about a third the time. And I had one. I found myself never using it, and I gave it away to my stepson, and he uses it all the time. Maggie's age, right? So, yeah, I think it's a generational thing. I just like traditional cooking.
Well, but like for corned beef, you're really just boiling it anyway. I mean, you're putting it in the oven in a broth, or I mean, I don't ever smoke them.
Yeah.
I like traditional corned beef, so I'll do it about 3-4 hours, and then I'll throw some cabbage on top for a couple more hours, and that to me is just how I like it.
Right.
That's how I want it.
Now, Tim, I saw on your website or Facebook or something, you prepared a Irish dinner for sale.
Yeah.
Was that ready to eat? Did they take it home and heat it up?
It was ready, so that's what we did for our lunch. And it was a boiled dinner. But I made it in such a fashion, if you were to think of serving it up in a container like stew.
Okay.
So somebody you can grab and go. So we cut the cabbage smaller. So typically, you know, you'd have that chunk of corned beef, some red skin taters, some carrots, you know, that'd be separated on a plate. We just kind of did it up all together so we could serve it easy. People could eat it easier.
And, right.
Son of a biscuit eater. I'll tell you, I love that stuff, too. Teresa's not as much of a fan.
Right.
So I got my fill, and, man, we blew through it. We had three roasters, and I thought, oh, man, I really went overboard, and we ran out. So
right. Well, there you go. Then you made the right amount if you ran out.
Yeah.
Well, because a lot of people, like with me, my wife doesn't really care for corned beef.
Uh-huh.
So if I make some, I mean, it's just me.
Yep. And that's a completely different animal to cook, because you're talking about smoking a brisket or doing a corned beef brisket. You know, typically, yeah, you're going to need a little bit more of that moisture with the corned process to cook that down, keep it moister, and it's going to end up with vegetables or something like that.
Yep.
As opposed to the fresh brisket seasoned up or rubbed or whatever you do and smoke that. So same cut. Two completely different ways to do it.
Yeah, the corning is a brining process, so it drives a lot of moisture in, but you have to be careful to still cook it in moisture because the cooking process, if you don't use the moisture, will draw all that out of there, you know, the salt and the flavorings. But, yeah, it was good. I mean, I enjoyed it. It's that once-a-year thing that I do, and you know, I sound like I was complaining. Maybe I was a little, but it was all good. I mean, I just wasn't planning on an all-day cook, and that's what a you know, brisket does for me. So,
and even with, you were talking about the Hormel canned product, we'll call it, corned beef to me is, and brisket is anyway, is a little bit of a rich meat. So you have the potatoes to kind of cut the richness, which to me then makes a good, even if it's out of the can, quick and easy for one bachelor, you're getting something to eat.
I love that stuff.
but the potatoes help to cut the richness of the corned beef in it. No matter what you put with it, the vegetables come out tasting way better.
Of course, there's a great use for your leftover corned beef is just, you know, roast some potatoes, cube them up, kind of pre-cook them a little bit, or fry them, and then throw your corned beef in at the last minute, cubed up. You can make your own with onions, and that's pretty wonderful, too.
Well, yeah, I made an omelet on Thursday morning after the St. Patty's Day because I had all that brisket left over, and I diced that up and put in some eggs and some onions and a little bit of Swiss cheese. I didn't dare go with the kraut. I almost did. I'm like,
missed
let me make
by
a Reuben,
that much.
Let me make a Reuben omelet, but I stopped on the kraut. So, but anyway, it was good. So you can, there's a lot of things. Meat, man, you can use it for anything.
Well, then when you go fishing, make sure you have the kraut. So when you're in the vehicle, you can share that all the way to the stream.
There you are, baby. Yeah, trout season's
Tim's
coming
tip
up.
Tip of the day.
Coming up next, there might be a chicken tip or two. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hey, it's Barbecue Bob. My wife and I recently built a new addition to our home and remade the kitchen. We went to Garrett's and picked out all of our products so that everything would fit in his space well. The selection was from best price to best quality, and the service was great. The delivery team was courteous and careful. Go to Garrett's Appliance, and while you're there, check out the huge selection of top brands of grills and smokers from North America. Garrett's Appliance, where families serve families. Garrett'sAppliance.com.
Hey guys, Schmoes now has two locations, 2600 Patterson here in Grand Rapids, and 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey now. So when you're up north, you can grab some Schmoes as well. Remember, you can get all your favorites, Bone Crusher, Hop Knocker, Treasure Chest, Amber Tees, Michigan Hands Pale Ale, and India Pale Ale, or one of our great root beers. Once again, that's Grand Rapids and Petoskey, engineering better Michigan beer.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
Fen Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fenville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine. Fen Valley Vineyards.